Mark chapter number 10. Are you there? Amen. What he just sang about is what you're going to experience in this chapter today. Amen. Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 46. The Bible said, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timothy, sat by the way, by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" I want you to notice this right here. I may just want to jump up on this verse. Listen to this. "And Jesus stood still." Let me say that again. I don't even know if y'all got it or not. "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he cast away his garments, rose, and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' And the blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I may receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." I want to take you to Jericho. Jericho is in the West Bank. Jericho is an area that's very difficult to get into now, but back in that day is a wonderful city. I want you to notice it was five miles west of Jordan. It was about 7 miles northwest of the Dead Sea. It was the place where Herod the Great had a summer palace and also the place he went to die. It was a place that's mentioned in the Bible. If you read in the Old Testament, we know of the walls of Jericho that came tumbling down. We know that Zacchaeus was in that place of Jericho, and Jesus commanded him to come down out of the sycamore tree. We know that the Good Samaritan was on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. If you went to Jericho during that time, you would find out when you entered the city, it was a place of history. It was a place of palaces. It was a place of antiquities. Hey, by the way, it was a great city. Everybody came to Jericho to see the splendor. But you notice that Jesus, Lord God, I'm about to get loose here. Jesus didn't stop by the palace. And Jesus didn't stop by the antiquities. Oh, Lord. There was somebody there that was more precious than silver and gold. There was a blind man there named Bartimaeus. He was in a terrible situation. He was blind and begging. He didn't rank very high. He wasn't very popular. He wasn't very prominent. He wasn't very prestigious. But I want you to know something. When Jesus came that way, he didn't walk on by him. The Bible said, and here's what I want to magnify, that Jesus stood still. Amen. He said, "I can walk by, but I'm not. Because I see him and he's in serious shape." He treated him like he was the only person in the world. He treated him like that his problem was the only problem in the world. You may think nobody cares. You may think that nobody loves you. But I want to tell you, the creator of humanity, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am, the great problem solver, will come to you today. And somebody help me preach. He'll make you feel like a somebody when nobody else cares for you, when your husband don't care, your wife, your children, the people at work. I want you to know Jesus cares. Lord, have mercy. I'm having a spell this morning. Can I say this to everybody? You matter to God. Yes, notice here. He was moving. He was busy. He's busy. Hey, by the way, there's 7.5 billion people on his watch. But he has enough time today. Somebody wave at me if you're getting this. He has enough time today to stop by and see you today. He's a sovereign God. He's a saving God. He's a sure enough God. And in the midst of your misery this morning, Jesus is taking a walk down here to Taze Valley. And he's going to stop and see your need. I'm going to give you, I don't know, I got a bunch of points. You know, these cemeteries teach 3 points and outline a poem. Well, I'm blowing it this morning, but I ain't got that. I'm going to preach on, okay? I want to give you about, I don't know. You'll find out. Notice, I want you to notice the condition of this subject, this person. He was blind. He was blind. He couldn't see. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded. He's a picture of every lost sinner. He was a picture of you before you trusted Christ. He was begging. He wanted some sympathy. He was brokenhearted. Every day, people walked by, Jared. They walked by and ignored him. Every day, people walked by and ignored him. But on this momentous day, on this wonderful day, the king of the universe done decide to come by him, and he wasn't going to ignore him. How many remember the day you got saved? You ought to wave at me and shout. Aren't you glad that Jesus came and stood still? You were blind. You were helpless. But he came in your mess. Amen. I want you to know something. Religion couldn't help him. Baptism couldn't help him. Works couldn't help him. The only thing could help him was somebody to pass by and help him. Number two, stay with me. I'm still going in this thing. Look at verse 47. The cry from his soul. I want you to notice, first of all, it was a sensitive cry. Sensitive. I like that. And when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry. You know, a lot of hurting people in this world. And maybe you're one of them this morning. Maybe you're lost and you're hurting, or you're here and saved and you're hurting. Can I tell you what? God hears your sensitive cry. Well, hallelujah. Not only was it a sensitive cry, it was a strong cry. Man, I tell you, he was desperate. How many believe this morning that what we need today? You know what? If you're a mess today, and you're maybe you're lost today, or maybe you're a messed up Christian today, you know what you need to do? You need to get desperate. You don't need to holler for one of your friends to help you. You don't need to holler for the government to help you. I'll tell you who you need to holler to. You need to cry out to him. Amen. We preaching? Amen. Huh? Thank God it was a strong cry. Stay in that chapter with me. It was a sensible cry. Here's what he's saying. Thou son of David. I want you to know something. He knew who Jesus was. He knew he wasn't an imposter. He knew he wasn't hollering for a cultist. He knew he was the heir of David. He didn't need Buddha. He wasn't calling for Muhammad. He wasn't calling for Joseph Smith. He was not calling for Mary Baker, Patty, Eddie, whatever, Glover. He's calling for Jesus. Amen. Hey, you know what the most sensible, smart thing you could do today is call on Jesus. It was a solemn cry. Have mercy on me. He said, I really don't want to get what I deserve. Somebody help me here. I need mercy. Hey, you know, there's a lot of people come to God, and there's a lot of people in church. This bothers me, so can I just run a rabbit here? Is it the churches and the government, everything? You know what people feel anymore? Entitled. We're raising an entitlement generation. Am I preaching? I want to tell you what. The only thing you and I are entitled to is hell. But I want you to know what mercy does. It gives you something. It allows you not to get something you deserve, and that's hell. Let me give you a third thing here. Y'all still reading this verse with me? Look at verse 48. I don't mean to be negative in this chapter, but it does say something here that I better cover. Verse 48, I see the critics on the sideline. When I got saved, I really guess I had rose-colored glasses on, because I thought everybody in church loved God like I did. But look here what happened in verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. My Lord God, they were demeaning in their spirit. You know what they were saying? Take your old blind, poor, rugged self and get back to the highways. Somebody help me here. Bartimaeus missed the memo. He said, Lord, have mercy on me, son of David. You know, there's a lot of people that look down their mountainous peak of a nose at you. That the somebody's in church. They come to see how people dress, and you know what they are? They're ordained church police. Ordained church police. Hey, ma'am. Hey, sir. Hey, young person. You're not a police. You ain't policing nobody. I'm not a police. I ain't policing y'all. Dear God, I throw y'all in jail. No, sir. We got too much of that junk in church today. Amen. Judgmental, ungodly people that look down and look, hey, listen to me. Ain't nobody perfect here. And I'm glad I got a God of mercy that don't look at me that way. Amen. They were discouraging in their speech. How discouraged you think he was when they said, get on out of here? Well, I'm going to run another rabbit. There's a lot of churches, all they want. Some of you preachers, amen, this, it's pastors. Us four no more. Come on. Ain't no preacher shouting on that? Us four no more. Want you a little hierarchy. Well, that's good preaching. Then they were determined to silence him. They'll tell you to quit. They'll tell you there's no use trusting God. They'll tell you that there's no hope for you. But I want you to look at me this morning. There's hope for your soul. There's somebody that cares for your soul. There's a God that wants to minister you this morning. Amen. But I want you to get this, and I'm going to the next point. They were defied by his sincerity. Go on now. Yeah. What did he do when they said go on? What did he say? Read that verse, last part of that verse. Read it.
Son of David, have mercy on me.
Where they told him to leave. Go on.
And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal.
they were trying to get him to get out of there. And instead of getting out of there, he went, Jesus! Son of David! Amen. Can I tell you what? Don't you let the buzzard police get you discouraged this morning. You're welcome at this altar. You're welcome to come to God. Don't let some little old woman who thinks she is somebody, or some man who thinks they're somebody, or some teenager that would scoff at you and try to keep you kids away from God, just ignore them and cry out more.
Amen. That's good preaching. Amen.
Number four. Look at verse 49. I better get it off that. Some of y'all Pharisees about to die on that one. Verse 49, look at it. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. The commandment to the servants. Now here's my belief. I don't know how y'all believe on this, but I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe the same people that wanted him to leave, Jesus made them tell him to come. That's just my belief. I may be wrong on that, but let me take that to glory with me. See, he cares about nobodies. The concern for his person, he commanded him to be called. How many of y'all remember when you got called to be saved?
Amen.
A call for his predicament. Boy. I want everyone to know this. I am against sin. Can I say it again, Chad? I am against sin. But sinner, I want you to know, I am not against you.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to know the comfort he provided in verse 49. The Bible said, be of good comfort. I will tell you what. Your mess needs something to God. You need to serve him this morning. You need, hey, then, good Lord, is this good here? Let me go back. I want to look at my own notes. That looks so good. I want you to notice this choice. Look at verse 50. Everybody at verse 50, say amen. Look what it said. And he, casting away his garment, rose up and came to Jesus. Now, I got to make this statement this morning, and I know if I've got some lordship people in here and I've got some easy believism people in here, you ain't going to like this. But he made him cast away his garment. They was repenting.
Yes,
yeah. Somebody said, well, repentance is no part of salvation. Oh, well, then Jesus must be a liar. He said, repent or perish. Somebody help me.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. He needed to remove the stumbling block. What was the thing, the stumbling block from him coming to Jesus? Amen. That big cloak he had.
Yeah.
Said, take your garments off so you can freely come to me. Let me tell you something, friend. I still believe in repenting from sin. I still believe in falling out from sin. And I believe repentance and faith are synonymous. You can't have faith without repentance, and you can't repent without faith. And I want you to know, Brother Ray, this not preached much in our little modern Baptist churches and our little seminaries. And oh, we got a bunch of hyper-Calvinist fools who don't have no clue what they're saying. You're elected to be this and you're elected to be that, and you don't have no responsibility. I say to you, you do have a responsibility to choose Christ, trust Christ, believe on Christ. You'll die and go to hell if you don't do that. Wait a minute, y'all not amen to my, well, glory, preacher. You need to remove your self-righteousness. You need to remove yourself. There's too many of you right now. You know what your problem is? Why you ain't getting much from God, even as a Christian? You're too self-righteous and too self, and you don't think you ever need anything. And how long has it been since you went to the altar? How long? Hey, people respond in the service all the time. How long has it been when you freely said, God, I need you at the altar?
Amen.
Amen. I'm almost done. Let your heart not be troubled. Verse 51, I'm still preaching right down the book. Don't go home and say, I didn't preach the word. The cure for his situation. And Jesus, listen, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. I want to ask you a question. What's your marriage need today? What's your Christian life need today? Sinner, what do you need today? That's your request. You know what? He was targeted in. And that is, I need my sight. And then his response. How many's glad? Come on, somebody help me preach here. How many's glad when you came to God? He didn't push you back.
Amen.
He gave you what you needed. I'm glad I don't have a faraway God. I'm glad I don't have a God that doesn't care. Hey, by the way, he's a pinpoint God. He knows what you need.
Amen.
And then his reliance, well, look what Jesus said to you. He said, thy faith had made thee whole. Let me ask you something. I'm almost done. What's some of you doing? What are you doing in your life? Are you relying on God? You had them problems you faced this week. Did you rely on God or did you call some friend to help bail you out? Huh? And I want to tell you what. I'm glad that God still can lead in people's life to do things that you don't even know about.
Amen.
That God puts it on people's hearts. Somebody help me right here.
Amen.
You said, preacher, you really believe that this Christian life, it's all faith, it's not sight. You got that right. If I was going by sight, I'd have done quit a long time ago. If I was going by sight, I'd have done stopped. The just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Whew. Man, we don't know.
Right.
Then look at the results. Look at verse 52. Look at the results. And immediately he received sight. Can I say something here? Now, Brother Harrison, you've been to mission field. Some of you went with me. There's some people I think are plumb, like Bruce Young said, plumb crazy. They believe, okay, if you come make a profession, you got to have about 6 months to prove it. Hello? There's some guys I know that won't baptize people until about 6 months or a year. Somebody tell them to tear Acts 2 out. Am I preaching? I want you to know the moment you put faith in Christ, you're saved. No probation. No. Your name is written in heaven. Hey, you're a child of God immediately. I want you to know something. You're a Christian here this morning. I got a God this morning can immediately take care of your problem if you'll trust him. Lastly, I'm done. The commitment of the saint. Look at verse 52, and I'm done. Immediately he received his sight, and what, listen? And followed Jesus. Somebody say it. And he followed Jesus in the way.
Amen.
I want y'all to know something. I believe he was excited. How many believe he was excited? He said, I'm healed! Hey, George, they told you up at the lung clinic you were 10% better, and you were shouting on the phone. I want you to know something. When I come to Jesus, I wasn't 10% better, 50% better, 90% better. I was all the way better. I was whole. I want to tell you, hallelujah. You may look at me today and say, well, you're not much. You might not be much to you, but I'm a whole bunch to God. I'm a child of God, an heir of God. I want you to know some of you have lost your excitement. It ain't fun anymore. Christianity ain't great anymore. I'm still excited. Not only was he excited, he was enlightened. In enlightenment, he said, I could see. When I got saved, and since I got saved, I finally learned to see. I thought all you people before I got saved were hypocrites because I was on the outside looking in. Now I'm on the inside looking out. And being saved is a wonderful thing. Somebody help me.
Amen.
And notice this, the exclusiveness. He followed Jesus in the way. Not a way, but the way. I want you to know something this morning. I'm not going to apologize for what I'm about to say. Religion won't get you to heaven. It ain't a way, it's the way. If you're in this room and you've never trusted Christ personally as your Savior, you're not in the way. Somebody help me. And if you're a Christian in this room trying to do it by sight, how long are you going to be frustrated? Get in the way. Can I tell you the most miserable church member I got? I'm going to tell you who they are. I ain't going to tell you their name because I don't want them to sue me. Okay? But they know who they are. They ain't in. They're not in. They're saved, but they're not in. They're in a way, but they're not in. Oh, they're in a religious way. They'll come to church on Sunday morning. Look pretty good doing it. But they ain't got a burden for the work of God. They don't have a burden for following Jesus. They don't even want to live a consistent Christian life. They still use their dope. They still drink occasionally. They still, come on, somebody help me here. I want y'all to know something. When I got saved, 75% of my language changed and my habits, I didn't drink anymore. I ain't drank since I got saved. Some of you can't say that. I'm a social drinker. You're a misfit. I just smoke pot for medicinal sake. You're a liar. You know what you need? You need to come to Jesus. You need to come to somebody who can change your life. You need to come to somebody you can follow. I'm not saying follow Pastor Smith. Only follow me as I follow Christ. I'm saying follow Jesus. I'm saying do right.
Amen.
Bow your head with me. I'm finished. You that's getting baptized, go ahead and come on out. Dear Heavenly Father, heads bowed and eyes closed. I just got to ask a question. If you were to die today, how many of you know that you know that you know you'd be going to heaven because you trusted Christ as Savior? Raise your hand high and one time testify. Hold them up a minute. Thank you. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I've tried everything. But you mean you tell me that Jesus is right here right now? He is. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I need Jesus. And I need to be saved. And I want to go to heaven. And I don't want my life to stay the way it is. Won't you raise your hand and just say, pray for me. I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. God bless that hand. Somebody else. Anybody else? Just slip it up. Man, you ain't been saved yet. Somebody been coming a while. You ain't got saved yet. Come on. I mean, right now, you say, Preacher, I'm saved. But to be quite honest with you, I'm not walking by faith. I'm not really relying on God. Now, Preacher, I love him. But Preacher, I'm not obedient. I know that I'm saved, but as far as being all in, I'm not all in. I wonder how many Christians want you just need to get all in. You say, by that, pray for me. Yes. Preacher, I'm not where I should be with God. Just pray for me. Sip it out. Preacher, my marriage is a mess, but I need God to get in my mess and help us. Pray for me. Preacher, my life's upside down. I've seen those hands. My life's upside down. Pray for me. Preacher, I got habits that I know if I stood before the judgment seat of God, he'd be ashamed of me. But I want to follow him. I remember when I used to follow him. Real close. How many just slip your hand up and say, pray for me? Stand with me. I want to pray. If you're here lost, you come. If you're here a Christian, just needs prayer, come. You want Jesus, just stand by you this morning. You come. Father, I'm so humbled to preach the word of God. And Lord, I'm glad that when those 7.5 billion people, but you know my name, you know who I am, and you'll pass by. You don't regard my popularity or my prestige. It's just, Lord, it's me and you. I thank you for that. Now bless this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come to the altar, you come.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass.
There may be some critic trying to stop you from coming to God. You just come in. There may be somebody that's looking down on you. You come on in. Don't worry about what they think. You need God.
Hear my humble cry.
Amen.
While on others thou art.
Yes.